You have your Bibles, or if you can take your pew Bible, let's turn together to Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at the 42nd verse. Acts 2, 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. It is a wonderful day in the life of the church to remember God's provision for us in moms, to celebrate his plans for motherhood. It's also very Methodist to do that, as Methodists were at the origin of Mother's Day itself and celebrating and honoring women that had blessed their daughters. But it's also a hard day, and so I appreciate Ben's prayer this morning. Sarah and I got word just this morning from our last church, the music minister. We were dear friends with them. They were neighbors with us. I hired her my first month there. We did 7 years of ministry together, and she just lost her mom this morning. Mother's Day can be a difficult day as we think of those who we have lost, as we think of maybe our past and how there were struggles in our own parenting or maybe with our own parents or grandparents. It can be a tough, tough day as well. But here in Acts 2, we get a beautiful picture of not only who the early church is, but also how all of us are to be. Whether it's in our parenting as moms, or in our relationship with our spouses, or in how we treat our employer, our employees, how we do friendship. There's a pattern here given to us in the early church, but it's also a reminder too, and there's a word here for moms, but there's a word here for us as a church, and it's a great day to see that because we've just had this baptism. We're reminded again of our life together, that we mother the children of our church in the faith. I'll give you an example from 3 weeks ago. This service, about a third of us were here. And I, by the way, for you that were here during the tornado sirens, I think you're faithful. I'm nervous about you. Some of y'all are crazy to have come. I'm watching the third of you that came that day. And so we ran to the fellowship hall because of all this glass in here, and we're worried about that. We had our brief service, but we were going to have a baptism that day. A family had come in to have their child baptized, and people had come from all over the country for that. And so as we were about to sneak back in here following that service to have that baptism, I went to the choir room and asked Donna, I said, would you sneak in with us under no obligation, because it was dangerous. Sirens were going off. Would you come in? And she said yes. And as I was walking out of that choir room, not one, not two, three, four, five, six, choir members followed me. I said, y'all, we're going in here. It's dangerous. I said, I know. We want to sing for that child. We want to sing with that family, church family, mothering the children of our church, all of us, wherever we are, all of us have, and all of us can count that. I can count person after person in my church family growing up that even though I didn't know Jesus, I saw Jesus in those people. So this is a commitment and a reminder and a pattern for the early church, but also for us as a church, but also for moms. So follow with me in verse 42, these quick reminders. First is, you see in the early church that they are committed to learning the apostles' teachings. They are committed to learning. And that is a critical ministry and role for moms, but also for us, to continually be a student of the word. But listen, if you're a mom, how many of you basically, if you've got a teenage kid, have basically had to retake algebra again? Right? It's crazy what moms have to relearn and redo for their children. You're always learning. As Christians, we are always to be learning. One of the more important lessons I learned in college ministry is my youth director said one day, yes, we're always in our Bible, but if you're not a reading Christian, meaning reading the church fathers and mothers, reading what other men are saying about the Lord, if we're not a reading Christian, we're probably not a growing Christian. We're always to be learning in the faith, but also as parents, always learning the lives of our children. You look at Paul, he knew his community. You watch what happens in Acts. He knows what they're worshiping. He knows what they're thinking. He knew their pagan poets. He knew their philosophers. He knew very well their Netflix history. He knew they had watched 13 Reasons Why. Moms, we need to do that so we can have those discussions with our sons and our daughters. He knows their world, and it's a great reminder to us to learn of the Lord, but to also learn our children and to learn our community. Secondly, in verse 42, we also see the importance of fellowship, and I can't say that enough about the life of our church together. It's so much so they kind of doubled up here. They fellowship together, but also this breaking of bread. It doubles up the importance of the need if we're going to live life well with each other as church, but live life well as moms, or in any relationship, there has to be that one-on-one. There has to be the building of relationship. In a recent study by the Barna Group, and they survey the church. In a recent study by the Barna Group, they said 8 in 10 mothers feel that stress overwhelms them. That's twice as women without children. Stress to the point of illness. 2 to 1. You been there, moms? When they asked women, are you satisfied with the amount of rest you get? Barely it was the majority of women said, yes, I'm satisfied. 52-53%. But when you ask moms, that number drops 30%. We're tired physically, tired emotionally. And I think here in our culture, in the frenetic pace of our culture, where we see a ton of people with our schedule, but it's not deep enough. How critical it is that you and I have relational rest, that we're carving out times for fellowship, whether it's Sunday school or in discipleship in small groups. Y'all, we're going to launch more of those in August, right? We're launching more in August. To meet the relational needs that we have. Moms, we have to set that time aside. Church, we have to set that time aside. To be learners, to be in fellowship, again, with breaking of bread. You can tell I love this passage. We're going to talk about this for 20 minutes. Breaking bread. It's not just about food. It's about doing life. We know that. About the importance of meals. About what that means. And statistics play that out. About eating together in this crazy paced culture, to do that not just as moms to children, but also as church with each other, how critical it is for us to set aside those times for fellowship. Verse 42, we're also reminded of the importance of prayer. This is probably the heart of all of our ministry. You don't have to tell a mom to pray. She's got children, she's praying throughout the day. But it's the heart of your ministry, Mom. Church, it's the heart of our ministry. You look through Scripture, rarely does any great work of God happen without people who are on their face before the Lord. That's typically how God works, is the crying out of His people. It's the preface of so many of Jesus' miracles as well. What a great thing to be known by your children as a mom of prayer. What a great gift you give to your children. What a great gift as church family. We constantly lift up the people in our Sunday school class or our small group or in our church or on our prayer list to be known by people of prayer, to have people outside these church walls say, oh, don't give that church your name. They'll pray you up. They'll be all over you. What a great gift, and maybe one of the greatest ministries, the greatest ministry that we have is prayer. And then here's what happens. Look in verse 43. When we do those kinds of things in 42, when we're doing life together well, when we're praying well, when we're learning the things of the Lord, that's when verse 33 can happen. That's when God shows up. That's when there's the awe and reverence of God. That's when there are the wonders of God, when the people of God have done the things of verse 42. So when moms are about those things, that's when God can really show up in the life of your family, when we've done those things. And I love how Paul even notes that. He talks about Timothy's sincere faith in 2 Timothy 1:5. And he says, I know you have it. I'm pretty sure you have it, but I know your grandmother has it. I know your mom has it. When people have done verse 42 well, the awe of God, God being known, shows up. What a great reminder that is. The way we live, the way we do life together, God can show up and God can be made known. Very quickly, the last two things. Verse 44 through 45. We see, not just for the church, but also for moms, so much of life and so much of our role is just in meeting needs. And how hard that is when you're selflessly giving of yourself, when you're pouring yourself out, and people sometimes don't notice, people don't appreciate that, but this is the life of a believer. We serve the great suffering servant, and so when you and I meet needs, as the church did here, we give him the glory. And it's not always easily won. I love the story of Joni Erickson Tada. You know her story from decades ago, paralyzed basically from the neck down, a Christian speaker and an artist. A woman had bumped into her in a bathroom one day and basically said, "I don't know how you do it. You just come to these conferences, you encourage us, you speak to us, you lift us up." And I want to read you what Johnny said to her. "I don't do it. In fact, let me tell you how, honestly, how I woke up this morning. This is an average day. After my husband Ken leaves for work at 6, I'm alone until I hear the front door open at 7. That's when a friend arrives to get me up. When I listen to her make coffee, I pray, 'Oh Lord, my friend will soon give me a bath, get me dressed, sit me up in my chair, brush my hair and teeth, and send me out the door. I don't have the strength to face this routine one more time. I have no resources. I don't have a smile to take into the day, but you do. May I have yours? God, I need you desperately.'" So what happens when your friend comes through the bedroom door? One of the people asked Johnny. "I turn my head towards her and I give her a smile sent straight from heaven. 'It's not mine, it's God's.' And so," I said, gesturing with my paralyzed legs, "whatever joy you see in me today was hard won." Sometimes serving is hard won, but we gut it out for each other, for our children, for the world, so that Christ might be recognized. And here's the beauty of this. When we meet needs well, what happens in verse 47? Souls are added. And that's really the heart of parenting. It's the heart of our life, John Wesley would say, and here in Acts is saying, this is the heart of our life together, to point people to Jesus Christ. As many other wonderful things we do for our children, as many wonderful other things we do for our community and for the world through our church, the heart of it is this: we just want Jesus to be known. We want him to be known. And in this meal, as Corey prayed, Christ is known, this self-sacrificing gift to remind us again of his love for us. And that's why, as moms, and that's why, as the church, we respond in these ways: to fellowship, to pray, to learn, and to serve, that others might know the awe of God, that others might know the salvation of God. And so we celebrate this meal together as we remember on the night in which Christ was betrayed, on the night in which, before he offered himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.